Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
This is a podcast called 25 Whistles Talking Football, and they all wear a whistle. Yeah, it's stupid, but what did you expect? It's a podcast called 25 Whistles.
What's up, everybody? 25 Whistles presented by DraftKings Fantasy Sports. Check out what DraftKings has to offer this season with the code Bobby Sports, because life's more fun when you're in on the action. DraftKings, Eddie, relax, bro.
I'm just staying ready, dude.
Like, he's taking huge breaths in.
Well, because it's a big breath when I whistle.
Okay. Because life's more fun. I'm just afraid you're going to pass out.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Because life's more fun when you're in on the action. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details. Okay, whistle. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
ESPN's Field Yates will be on with us later to talk about the Dolphins and Tua and the Cowboys and the playoffs. And
I like that guy. I mean, he during fantasy, he's the dude. Like, do I start him? Do I start him?
He's the dude now, especially because Matthew Berry went over to Peacock,
correct,
NBC. Mm-hmm. So it was a good move for Field Yates that Matthew Berry left.
Yeah, because it was them two.
Yeah, because Matthew Berry was like the fantasy guy and still is a big – but. Now it's ESPN just such a big platform for fantasy.
Is like, Field famous? Because I mean, we all know him.
Famous if you're play fantasy. Into sports.
No, I mean,
I would say I don't even know him as much from fantasy as I do just on ESPN.
Yeah, really? He's all over all, yeah, of he's their all over programming.
Yeah.
NFL Live, all that stuff.
And I usually win my fantasy league as evidence of our league this year. I finished second last year in our league.
Shot.
But so, you know, I don't really go to the experts of fantasy. I just go to me. I'm like, really? what do you feel today? And I'm like, well, I'm glad you asked. And then I sell me a subscription service.
Wow.
Yeah. So I subscribe to my own newsletter about fantasy.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
And so, that's why you win.
Are you the only lone subscriber?
Yeah, just one. Okay. We only have room for one.
Okay.
Yeah. Jim Harbaugh to the Chargers. That's fun, right?
Yeah.
All I think about is how cool it is for him to have to move, to get to move from Michigan to Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
The weather is just going to be great. No pressure. It's not a 5-year deal.
Traffic, though, dude.
Yeah, but I think
about the LA traffic.
He just lives, like, I don't know, get a helicopter.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to.
I don't think that's really an issue. You could.
Not for somebody with that much money.
So that's why those guys get helicopters, because traffic's so bad, they just fly into their office?
I mean, Kobe died because he was flying to. But that was. Yeah. It wasn't because of the helicopter so much as it was. It was a cloudy day.
The fog.
Probably pilot error.
Dude, I drove home from work that night at like midnight, literally through that same canyon area.
Really?
And it was foggy.
Really?
I'm not even kidding.
Like, you remember it being that
foggy? I remember, and I woke up, or not woke up, but it happened that morning or whatever, but I found out the next day, and I was like, that's sad. Because I drove through like 6 hours before that whole thing happened with him, and it was foggy. I couldn't even drive, let alone be in the air in the helicopter.
Now, I'm not sure if this is true or it was just a story I read, so take this whole thing with a grain of salt. But didn't someone say that Kobe was like, no, we have to go?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's what they said. That's what I heard too.
And the helicopter, the pilot was like, I don't know. He's like, no. And again, it's Kobe and he's your boss. And so you're like, all right.
Yeah. Kind of rule of thumb. You should never tell the pilot like when they think you should fly. They kind of know like when to fly and when not to fly. And I think one pilot said one time too, was like, you know, I want to save my life too. Like, I don't want to put my life in danger.
Kids, yeah. Life too, yeah.
Yeah, but he would take that to practice. Actually, tomorrow's the anniversary of that.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
It's a weird day to wake up and read that.
Very.
I was on my way to your house. We were going to do a podcast or something, mm-hmm. and that's the first thing he said when I walked in. I'm like, what?
I watched some of these Kobe. Well, let me get on Harbaugh real quick and finish this.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh to the Chargers. Why this is a good job. One, nobody cares about the team, really. They don't have a passionate fan base. They have some passionate fans, but it's not like that team is a team that has diehards because it's all they have. Like, when you look at diehards, for the most part, Green Bay, what do they have? They have a couple sports teams in Wisconsin, the Brewers, the but I mean, that's their central.
Huge fan base.
I mean, look at
Cowboys.
Well, the Cowboys have a lot, but they've been around forever.
Yep.
So, and they've been good. They had really great years.
The Steelers.
Pittsburgh, diehard. Pittsburgh, not one of the biggest media markets. So for the most part, L.A. has been tough for teams. That's why teams have moved in and out of L.A., just generally.
Yeah.
The Raiders, the Rams, the Chargers now. So whenever they have home games there, it's like 60% the other teams if it's a big passionate fan base. That being said, the pressure's not going to be crazy on him to win in the first year or 2 years because they're a bit apathetic. It will happen because they're paying him a bunch of money, but it's not like he's walking into the hot stove.
Yeah, the pressure's not really on.
And he's won everywhere, so if it doesn't work immediately, you're like, hey, it's a process. I've won every single place I've been.
Yeah, give it time. Literally everywhere.
Yeah.
San Diego.
Stanford.
San Francisco. Michigan.
Yeah. Dang. Michigan took a little longer, but
yeah,
he still won a national championship, so what are you going to say? He came in and Ohio State was so much bigger and better, and Ohio State whooped that butt for years. Until they just didn't anymore, and then it was over.
Yeah.
So what's going on with clearing his name on this?
Who cares?
He's done.
Doesn't matter.
Mm-mm, who cares? They're probably going to hire the offensive coordinator as the head coach over there.
Yeah.
The OC who was the head coach when he was suspended every game this year, because he was basically suspended every game.
It's funny. I saw his face, and I was like, I've seen that guy so much, and that's why, because he was gone for six games.
Yeah, he'd be crying at the end of the games.
Yes.
And cursing.
This one's for you.
Yeah. More, he'd be like, this is for Coach Harbaugh. Yeah. I love you.
He would say the F word on national television.
Yeah. So I'm sure he's legit.
Yeah.
And he gets to keep that staff for the most part. I think Harbaugh leaves and takes one of the Harbaugh boys, like his brother on staff, or maybe his brother's with John.
They have a third Harbaugh?
There's another Harbaugh, special teams.
Really?
I think maybe the special teams coordinator at Michigan or at Baltimore. Meaning one of the Harbaughs coached over one of the other Harbaughs.
Yeah.
I know the defensive coordinator for the Ravens was the defensive coordinator for the Michigan.
See if they have another brother. How many Harbaugh brothers are there?
I just see sisters.
Well, then she coaches. Trust me. But there could be another Harbaugh that coaches on his staff.
That's not related, maybe?
Well, never mind. That's the wife of
what
John.
What a coincidence.
That I'm
at. Hey, Mike, will you go that if there's another Harbaugh?
I'm not seeing one.
Okay, well, I'm an idiot. I'm almost positive.
It's a weird one to make up, though, man.
I know. Unless somebody got me good.
It's probably, what's his name? The guy who got them in trouble.
Oh.
He's part of it all.
The military guy?
Yeah. He probably used that ID one time.
So all that Pete Carroll stuff, like, that was just a joke or something? Or
what do you mean?
Like that the Chargers were talking to Pete Carroll?
Chargers were talking to everybody. They did interviews with many coaches.
Yeah, but
Jay Harbaugh. In 9 seasons at Michigan, Jay Harbaugh has been considered the most versatile coach, having worked with tight ends, running backs, and most recently safeties. He was assistant special teams coordinator for 4 years before becoming special teams coordinator for the last 4 years at Michigan. Yeah, you guys suck it.
His name's J-A-Y?
Is he a son or? Yeah, he's got a son
of Jim.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
I knew there was a Harbaugh.
All right. Hey, man, I never doubted you.
Hey, you did.
Not me. Okay. Not me.
I did, though. I doubted me. So that's the big news that Jim Harbaugh is going over. What's up with your boy Belichick? He going to Atlanta or no?
Man, it's not looking good right now.
Nobody wants him?
They're saying that's the only team.
Because most people feel he's just trying to beat Shula. Not that he's going to go put down roots. He's also older.
Okay, that means a win.
Sure.
Isn't that what you want?
Yeah, but I mean, if that's your only motivation for like 2 years, a year and a half, and then you're going to leave, you're going to build something and leave it? I don't know. I don't think I'd want an old coach to come
really?
In. Like, he doesn't have more than 5 years, you would think.
Living or coaching?
Both.
Coaching. And there'll probably be a lot of jobs open up next year. Oh, there will be. There's always a bunch of jobs, but the Cowboys will open up next year.
What do you mean? You don't know that. You don't know that. If they win the whole thing, there's no job opening up.
I'm just playing
And
odds.
Next year might be our year.
You're right. It could be. Never so the know. Cowboys could open up next year.
We're already starting that.
I feel dang, like the, if the Eagles don't win, Sirianni's out. I feel like Eberflus, he's not going to get a start over just because they're drafting a rookie quarterback.
The Eagles got rid of a lot of people, huh?
They did, but not their head coach.
No, not that.
Yeah, Ben Johnson, offensive coordinator. There's still some openings. Yeah, I don't know. With Belichick, I think it's kind of showing us, you know, what everybody else thinks.
Does that hurt your feelings a little bit? He's like you. You're a dire Patriots fan.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. I understand it. Like we were just saying, how many more years does he have in him? So if you build something and then leave, then you got to start over again if they even win anything.
What if he can't get a job and the only reason he can't beat Shula is because he can't coach?
That makes me sad. Like if he can't get a job, he'll get a job somewhere, but if he can't get a head coaching job, that makes me dang.
He can work at Walmart.
Well, he ain't going to take a coordinator job.
He can come on Whistles.
He can work at Starbucks.
Yeah, that's Starbucks. True. He can come on Whistles or Starbucks.
No, he'd be a terrible customer service. What do you want? We're out of coffee.
Got it. Oh, yeah. What was I talking about? I was going to come back to it.
Kobe.
Yeah, Kobe. Oh, I'll watch these videos. It's Kobe and MJ in a different way, Larry Bird, but part of my TikTok is a bunch of 90s and early 2000s basketball or podcasts from All That Smoke or what is that podcast called?
Up in Smoke.
Yeah. Showtime now bought it. Mm-hmm. So that'll come up a lot. It's not called Up in Smoke, is it? It's called whatever it is. I just watch it on TikTok.
That's one with Matt Barnes?
Yes.
Right?
And so they talk about Kobe in a way of like, man, even Michael.
All the smoke.
Thank you. Even Michael, they're like, Michael's crazy, man. Like, he'd see you walk in the parking lot before game. He'd come up and stab you right in your shin with a butter knife, and you bleed. And then he'd see you on the court and be like, ha, 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 man, that guy's a competitor. You're like, what the?
Yeah, weird.
Or like Kobe come out, he'd be like, hey, come out, he'd be like, I had sex with your mom. And he'd be like, what? No, you didn't. You're just trying to get in my head. And then you'd look, and your mom would text you and be like, yeah, it's sex with Kobe. You're like, dang, he's a competitor.
Wow, what a great competitor.
I know. It's like all these awful human traits.
Terrible people.
But that they only end up going, and that's what made him a competitor, man. And I feel like a little bit Kobe has been turned into more of a hero after he died.
Yes.
But that happens with everybody, right? Yeah. But he didn't die while he was playing. He died after he retired already. But the stories are wild about them. Yeah, man. Like once I bought some crypto and I looked and it had all been stolen. I was part of a fraud scheme. And I got on a court and I went 2 for 12 that night. And Kobe said, it's because I stole your crypto.
And he really
and
did.
And he did.
What a competitor.
But that guy, he knew how to compete.
God. Just a bad dude.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what, there's like a fine line between being a bad dude and like, and they'd be like, yeah, man, rest in peace. So, but Jordan has a bunch of those stories. Kobe has a bunch of those stories. I'm on Larry Bird Twitter too. Now, Larry's stories aren't like that, but Larry talked more garbage than anybody ever in the history of the world. And it's hilarious. You'll have all these guys come out and be like, Larry Bird saw me and is like, you going to let him guard me? And he'd be like, yeah. And I go to my coach and be like, yeah, I got the white boy. And Larry would be like, yeah, okay. I'm about to show this kid what's up with a dunk. Right hand. Touch my knee, slap your mama. Boom, dunk. And then he would dunk on me, just like he said. And he walked over and slapped my mama.
What about that one game where he played left-handed?
When he got to a point, he just played left-handed.
That's crazy.
He's like, I'm just going to play my left. Yeah, he scored like 40 or whatever it was already. He's like, I'm just going to play left-handed.
Let's show you.
The Larry Bird stuff is crazy because he was 6'9", 6'10", but playing as a guard-ish. He's a forward, obviously, but could handle and could shoot. There are some of those older videos of those guys that I watch and I'm blown away at how advanced they were. Larry Bird, one of them, didn't quite understand it then because I was a young kid, but he was doing stuff that some of the big guys are doing now and they're considered progressive in the NBA. But like Pistol Pete, there was no three-point line for much of his career in the NBA. There's not in college, and he was averaging 40 a game in college. No three-point line. And Pistol Pete and the Celtic.
McHale?
No. Way back. Bob Cousy.
Oh.
To watch the Bob Cousy, black and white, go behind the back, throw those passes like Jason.
Behind the back.
Williams.
Jason Williams, yeah.
Yes.
It's crazy to see these guys old like that doing that. And they were so far ahead of their game that it was just weird.
Can you imagine if they knew the Eurostep?
I watch Jason Williams playing Rec League sometimes. You ever see that?
Dude.
Because now he plays and they're like, travel. He goes, I ain't traveled since I was five.
when they call travel on a dude, on an NBA player.
It's funny.
He was awesome. Yeah, he was an and-one guy out there playing NBA.
He was awesome. So Harbaugh, thumbs up. Kobe, RIP.
RIP, man.
MJ, kind of a bad dude.
So I have a quick story. I was at the Y, and I was just playing a little bit with my kids or whatever, and this man, old man comes up, probably like 80, almost 90. Old dude, he was working out. And he comes up to me, he's like, you like basketball? I'm like, yes, sir, I do. And he said, let me tell you a story. He's like, back in the 90s, early 90, whatever, he's like, I had a really rich friend of mine. He invited me to his house in Chicago. We spent the weekend together. He says, hey, Michael Jordan's a friend of mine. He's like, he's having a party at his house. You want to come? He's like, yeah. So we went to Michael Jordan's house, had a party. And he had a game the next day. We spend the night at his house. Next day, Michael says, you guys want to go to the game? I'm taking off in like an hour. Yeah, we jump in the shower, got dressed. We get in Michael's car. We're driving to the game. And we see Scottie Pippen broken down on the side of the road. And we're like, Mike, that's Scottie Pippen. He's like, yeah, screw him. He just kept driving. And we said, you don't want to go help him? He's like, nah, I don't need that dude. And he'll figure it out. If he doesn't make the game, we'll just play without him. And we were like, well, that's crazy. And sure enough, he said, we got to the game. We're in the locker room or whatever. And Scottie Pippen comes in. He's like, dude, did you just drove past me? It didn't help. He's like, what? I told you, punk. He's like, I don't need you on my team. He's like, I don't need you on my team. I figure you just figure maybe you'd miss the game and we'd be all right. We'd win by 20 points anyway. He said, that's a crazy story. Believe it or not. And the old man walked away. I was like, what?
Just some random old dude.
Is this a true story?
It was Horace Grant.
Horace Grant.
Probably a little bit amplified, yeah. But probably some truth to it, I guess.
It's just weird to see an old man come up to like just a random person and be like, I have a story for this guy. He might enjoy this.
In his head, he's thinking, I know I'm going to die soon, so I want to share all my stories with
you. Yes. He just picks random people at the gym every day.
But if there are so many
the
stories.
The Middle Eastern fella.
Okay. What ethnicity am I?
Yeah. We talked about that last show where the woman was like, what ethnicity are you? Yes. We did? Okay. All right. Yes. Anything else?
You just hear so many Michael Jordan stories. You're like, all right, that's the kind of dude he is.
But it's all because
even when I saw The Last Dance, I'm like, I don't want. Yeah, I would never be this dude's friend. Yeah, ever.
He's so driven. You know, there's a fine line between driven and a bad dude.
Yeah,
he's an a-hole.
Yeah,
for sure.
Sometimes you have to be an a-hole
for sure,
at times.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like he's better at bad dudes sometimes for sure. All right, let's go Tittle Tattle. It's time for the stupidest name ever. It's the Tittle
Tattle with Kickoff. Following the announcement of The Rock being appointed to the board of directors of TKO Group, if you could join the board of one company, which would it be?
I think the headline too with The Rock thing was he gets to have the name The Rock.
Yeah, that too.
Because that never really was owned by him, which is why I really tried to go by Dwayne Johnson. But he just couldn't shake The Rock. That's what we know him as. And he comes back and wrestles occasionally, so he's still The Rock.
What's the company?
TKO, which is UFC and WWE.
Oh, wow.
Together.
That's cool. I didn't know that was one company.
Yeah, pretty recently, right? Didn't they buy them?
I believe,
most of them. So, yeah, The Rock's going to be on the board. But The Rock also has, you know, interest in the whole spring football now because they've combined those leagues too.
Yeah, USFL and XFL, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, Rock's all over. That dude is so thick. He's so thick. I never seen him in person.
Humongous.
But he looks humongous on TV, like thick. Even thicker than the thick guys. When he comes out, because he came out and wrestled again.
Yeah.
He was bigger than the wrestlers.
Yeah, but they say cameras add like 7 pounds.
Bro, I'm telling you, he looks like 7,000 muscle pounds.
You follow him on Instagram?
Uh-uh. I mean, I don't.
Dude, he works out every day and he looks thick every day.
I would put myself, speaking of wrestling, you see where Netflix signed WWE $5 billion deal to stream Raw?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there you go, Mike.
Right, Mike?
Yeah.
You guys watch that?
I watch the news when they tell Netflix stories.
No, I'm saying Raw. Like, I haven't watched that. My kids don't watch that. Like, I don't know anyone that watches Raw.
No, I don't. But it's huge. Wrestling is massive again.
Really?
I started watching again when Snake in the Grass would come on because it would lead right into it. So I was like, hey, I kind of like this again.
Yeah.
They had it in Nashville, too, or the Royal Rumble.
I went to
or
SummerSlam.
Yeah, or that's what it was, yeah.
$5 billion to be able to air Raw on Netflix.
Wow. Yeah.
I know on Peacock, it's been... A lot of the wrestling's been on Peacock, and I'm not sure if they own part of that or if it's being taken off. Or maybe it's coming from USA.
It doesn't start till next year, so maybe that's ending that contract.
So what board would I want to be on? I'd want to be on the NFL board.
Yeah.
Because the first thing I would do is say, listen, you idiots. If somebody gets called for pass interference, we need to give the quarterback those yards. Because you eliminated any chance for them to get those yards. He just threw it 35 yards. It's pass interference. The receiver wasn't even able to catch it. You called a flag. The quarterback and the receiver get those yards. Yeah, the ball's going there, so somebody needs to get those yards. They're not dead yards.
So as far as the stats goes?
Yes.
Okay.
If you throw a pass, if it's a pass interference and you've shut down the attempt, to, that's the first rule I would change.
Okay.
They're already working on the fumble through the end zone rule, which is stupid too.
Yes.
And then I would go like, and if you know anybody in the NBA board, when you get that assist thing changed, where if somebody gets fouled and they don't make their shots, they make both free throws, the person gets an assist that gave them the opportunity.
Yeah, you're all about padding the stats.
Not padding, giving people what they're due.
Clearing them up. What about, Bones, when the quarterback throws a good pass, it gets tipped and intercepted, should the quarterback get that interception?
Yeah.
It was a good pass.
But maybe he didn't throw it right where it needed to be.
Oh, he did.
No.
He did, but the receiver
But there's just, no penalty there. There's no penalty.
Yeah, the stat is he gets an interception. No, what if he was having a great season?
But I'm saying there's no penalty involved in that play.
Oh, as far as like
the
yardage.
Pass interference, like there is an actual, this has been done wrong. You have been wronged, receiver and quarterback. I shall throw a piece of yellow to reflect how wrong you've done, and we shall give you what you deserve, your yards. So I think they should also give them the yards.
And that'd be cool if the refs talk like that. Like made him feel
Romeo
real
and Juliet.
Bad. Yes.
Wherefore art thou?
They could
you
only
cheated.
Talk in accents.
Yes. And then I'd put myself on the iHeartRadio board, iHeartMedia board. I'd give you guys raises.
What?
That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm.
First thing I would do. Everybody, thank you. I know I just came off the NFL board, but I'm excited to be here on the iHeart board. I got three people I want to give raises. And then I'd retire and get
Dang.
Off the board. So, all right, next up.
All right, at 7-point dogs open the week, do you think Vegas is disrespecting the Lions in the NFC Championship?
No. Because Vegas doesn't really do it based on what they feel. They do it based on what they think people will feel about it. Meaning they don't really care what the line is. They just want it to be 50-50. Mm-hmm. And so they set a line that they think is going to make people bet 50-50 because they get a, if you bet a dollar, they'll take a nickel. And then you're playing with 95 cents on the bet. So you bet a dollar, they're taking a nickel anyway. You get 95 cents that you're using for the bet. But they want it to be bet so down the middle, they have no risk and they're only collecting everybody's nickel. So they're creating a line, not for their own jollies. They're creating a line that people will feel like, oh, I think the Lions could get 7 points to win. No, I think the 49ers get -7, like right in the middle. And so I think that they think that people disrespect the Lions and want to give San Francisco the old -7er.
Oh.
Does that make sense how I said it?
Yes, it does make sense. However, there are some lines where you look at it and you're like, yeah, I mean, obviously, I think it definitely splits the people. San Francisco's a great team. Everyone knows San Francisco's really, really good. And the Lions, there's a lot of hype, but realistically, I think people think that the 49ers are a much better team. So that line makes sense, right?
Okay.
But sometimes you get the 49ers and the Packers, and their seasons have been tremendous, like big difference, and then it's like -1.
And you know what? That line will shift if a whole bunch of people jump on one side.
Mm-hmm.
That line will move. That's why it moves, because they're trying to keep it balanced in the middle.
Yeah, I completely understand, and I agree with you.
So what they're doing is just setting that line to try to find that middle spot. And if they can hit perfect middle, they profit and they lose nothing. There's no such thing as perfect middle. But that's kind of the goal there.
7 points in a playoff game, especially with the momentum that the Lions have, seems like most people would just bite at that.
But San Francisco, they're so good. The Lions are too, but the Lions, if you're a casual bettor, you probably think the 49ers, they're going to kill the Lions. Look at if Debo, who knows if Debo's even playing. Yeah. Like there's all the nuanced parts of it. However, most people will go, San Francisco's awesome. The Lions, well, that's a cute little story. That's fun. They were on Hard Knocks. So I don't think that Vegas is being disrespectful. I think that Vegas knows people don't really think the Lions can keep up with the 49ers, so they've made that line there. I would probably take, I don't know, it's right in the middle. That's such a good number, that touchdown. If it was 6, I would go with the Lions.
Really?
Ooh.
It's just the 7 points?
But even that, who knows? I'm just saying stupid stuff at this point. But right now, I think, like, I thought, what, because I'm going to give you my parlay in a minute, because I'm on a streak.
Yeah.
But yeah,
rolling.
I think the Lions are so good. They have the personnel to actually play with San Francisco, which is pretty cool.
And what scares me the most is the Niners had such a down game last game, and the Lions are so up right now, and it could just flip so easily.
Definitely could, or it could not flip.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's hey, any given Sunday, right, boys?
Any given Sunday. Hey, that's what they say.
That's right. All right, what else?
Last week showed how important kickers are. Do you think the Ravens have the biggest X factor out of the final four teams with Justin Tucker?
So I like Harrison Butker a lot for the Chiefs. He's pretty solid. And you know why I know him so well? He plays on my Madden team.
This is why you know him?
Yeah, I know how good he is. He doesn't miss. He's awesome. And so in our Madden league, I have Harrison.
Wait. He doesn't miss in Madden?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But he's 94% with the Chiefs, so he does miss occasionally. But Justin Tucker is so freaking clutch and so many times.
He did miss this season.
Yeah, but that's okay. I remember Justin Tucker being clutch when they beat Texas A&M on that kick.
Oh, yeah.
His last kick in college. Like the last time they played each other. Justin Tucker came up, University of Texas.
Really?
He's been clutch his whole life.
We lived in Austin then, and when they won, they did the whole parade through downtown and everything, and he was the star.
Like, really?
He was the star of that parade.
I'm a big Justin Tucker guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a listener.
Would you go see him do the opera? No. What did he
Would
sing?
I go watch him sing? No.
Yeah.
Unless he was like, hey, come watch me sing, because he's a really good singer.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Justin Tucker is?
Yeah. So all four of the kickers are good. There's one thing that's in common with all these teams. Tucker, 87%, but super clutch.
Come on.
Harrison Butker's 94% this year. He's awesome, especially on Madden. Badgley for the Lions is 4-for-4 in four games. Like, he hasn't missed in four games, but he hasn't had the whole season of resume. And Jake Moody for the Niners, 84% all season long, which is pretty good. Not going to lie.
Who is the one that...
I'd still rather have Justin Tucker than any of them.
Yes.
He's just done it on a big level over and over again.
Who's the one where the coach said every time he'd go up there, he'd just pray? Was that LaFleur?
Yeah, it was.
But he got mad. Yeah, it was LaFleur.
Was it?
But he got mad because they twisted it. He was saying, like, you know, like, just as a fans, we always pray no matter what. He wasn't saying, like, he doesn't have confidence in him, you know?
Oh, I took it when I saw the clip. I thought, like, Eddie was saying it.
Yeah.
So like, he got mad. So bad that every time he goes up, he prays.
So he said he got mad at Rinaldi because Rinaldi flipped it when he told him that into a way that he didn't mean it like that.
It was him because rookie kicker.
Yes.
And they were like, we're going to stay the course with him. He's a rookie kicker. Mm-hmm. And
but every time he goes up there, I'm going to pray.
He's going to pray. Forgot about it. Yeah, that's good. All right, what else?
Last one here. Which defense do you trust more to slow down the MVP quarterbacks when they face off on Sunday? The Ravens or the Chiefs?
Both are awesome. And the over-under is like, I don't know what it is now, but it was a little lower than I thought it would be because the defenses are so good. I think it was like 40, 41. And you would think with these high-scoring offenses that it would be one of the teams would bet 30. What is it?
It's 44 and a half now. I thought I saw it like 42.
So, hey, Eddie, it's going up. You know why? Not 50-50.
That's right. Mm. They're making it 50-50.
Yeah. The Ravens defense is so good.
They're very good.
Yeah.
The Chiefs defense is really good. But the Ravens, have to go up against Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And I know the Chiefs have to go up against Lamar Jackson, who's awesome, MVP for sure this year. But I'd still rather go up against Lamar Jackson than Patrick Mahomes because to be the man, you got to beat the man. Nobody's beat the man yet.
That's right.
But both defenses are really good on teams known for their offense. So who cares? I need the Chiefs to win because I cashed out my Baltimore future for $1,000.
You did?
Yeah, we did it on the show.
I thought you thought about doing it.
No, I did it. Okay. Baltimore has the better defense, awesome, but I would rather have Mahomes and Lamar Jackson more then I would rather have the Baltimore defense over Kansas City. I would rather have the Baltimore defense over Kansas City, but I'd rather have Mahomes over Jackson more than I'd rather have that defense.
It's like betting, right? Mahomes outweighs.
Not 50-50, so Mahomes.
Exactly.
So I'm going to take the Chiefs defense because the Chiefs offense, they have the Chiefs offense.
Perfect.
Terrible logic, but let's go with it. All right, that's the Tittle Tattle. The stupidest name ever is the Tittle Tattle with Kickoff Kevin. 25 Whistles presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app. Use the code BobbySports to get in on the action. Okay, here's my parlay this week. We're going two money lines. First of all, we're going Chiefs money line over Ravens. The Chiefs are the underdog.
Okay.
It's Ravens -3.5 from Baltimore. Chiefs money line over Ravens.
Let me just do it.
And Niners money line over Lions. That one seems to be a little simpler to take because that spread's a little bigger. But I got Chiefs, Niners, and I got Mahomes over 240 yards passing.
Oh, and Mahomes. Okay.
Man.
Because they want us to do three.
It just moved 239.5.
Okay, 239.5.
That's crazy how quick it's moving. We literally talked about this 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. But we didn't move it.
Is no, I know. I know. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, you look away for a little, and check it again. It's moved a
point. Okay, I'm taking my homes 239 and a half.
Over?
Over 239 and a half. So there you go. Chiefs, Niners, money line. Mahomes over 239 and a half. Let's keep the streak going. It's the longest streak we've had all year.
Tied.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, tied. Yeah, good. So if you want to take the 25 Whistles Parlay, you can check out DraftKings Sportsbook. New users, use the code BobbySports whenever you download the app. That'd be awesome. That'd help us a lot. 21 and up in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now let's get to our interview with ESPN's Field Yates. Field was once an intern for the Patriots and then became a scout. And then, I mean, he's all over ESPN now, but he's a scout as well, which is pretty cool. He started writing blogs, and that's how he kind of got picked up by ESPN. Never really had the idea to go into media. It just kind of happened because he loved football so much. He has a draft podcast with Mel Kiper Jr. called First Draft and a fantasy podcast called Fantasy Focus Football. Follow Field on Twitter and Instagram at Field Yates. Here he is, Phil Yates. Hey, Phil, appreciate the time, man.
No problem. Glad to do it. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, so let's talk about Buffalo first. It's the first time ever I've, you know, seen a team lose and them be the headline for multiple days after they lost. Do they do anything different next year, or do they just continue just pounding away at it?
So this is one of those like very, very narrow margins for a team that has to kind of navigate over the NFL offseason. When a team does not reach its ultimate goal in the NFL, and when you have Josh Allen as your quarterback, that ultimate goal is going to realistically be winning the Super Bowl. Usually there are like a few levers that you can pull, right? The one that we see most often, not just in the NFL and also in sports, is you fire the coach. that tends to be one of the first options that we default to, because a new voice in the room can change the atmosphere or the vibe or just sort of the overall intensity or attitude of the organization. For Buffalo, though, Sean McDermott has been there for a long time now and helped steady a franchise that for a long time prior to his arrival was not irrelevant, but was certainly nowhere near as successful as it is right now. We're also in this hiring cycle where one quarter of the NFL teams made a change at head coach. So when you've got eight other people that have already moved prior to you, the number of desirable candidates that you might be looking at has already dwindled because teams have either already made their head coaching changes or are deep into the process. So I don't know that a coaching change is likely in Buffalo, but the problem is in the NFL, how many, like there are 53 players on the roster. So there are a lot more guys that you can replace, sign, trade for, et cetera, than there are in baseball or hockey or something of that nature. But a lot of players in the NFL, if you're really good and you are on a veteran contract, those difficult things to move. That's why I don't see that many trades in the NFL. You can say, hey, the Bills should be trading Stephon Diggs right now. Well, if you trade him, all of a sudden a very thin wide receiver group becomes borderline non-existent. So as much as I would love to sit here and tell you, here are the five things that Buffalo needs to do to blow this all up, because that would be the key to getting over the proverbial hump that is the Kansas City Chiefs, the most likely plan for Buffalo is to bring back a lot of what has been there and done that for the past few seasons, and just hope that next year they either avoid Kansas City in the playoffs, or if they get them in the playoffs, that the any given Sunday mentality of the NFL goes in their favor and not in the favor of Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Harder for free agents to go to Buffalo generally. If they get to choose all even, they probably don't go, but the team's good. Like, what do you think?
I would say that there was a time where that stigma definitely was real. I think the success of Buffalo over the past 5 to 6 years has helped alleviate a lot of that. I mean, if you look at some of the best players on the Bills roster, many of them weren't not drafted by Buffalo. So while you can't necessarily dictate exactly where you're being traded, Stephon Diggs was traded to Buffalo and then subsequently extended with Buffalo. Like, he made the choice to stick around for a long time with the Bills. Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, their other safety, two guys that were originally brought to Buffalo via free agents. Von Miller was the biggest free agent signing maybe in all of football on the defensive side of the ball a couple of off seasons ago, right? He had options and he chose to go to Buffalo. So we've seen a lot of guys choose Buffalo that have become staples of their roster. I think, though, it's maybe fair to say that players right now that are evaluating various contenders that are like one piece away and they think they can be that piece might view Buffalo in a slightly different light than they do if Kansas City were to come calling this offseason, or Baltimore were to come calling this offseason, or San Francisco were to come calling, or Detroit were to come calling this offseason, given the fact that those teams have already advanced to the conference championships. And of course, two of them are going to make it to the Super Bowl.
With Josh Allen, we'll say his kryptonite has been Patrick Mahomes, obviously. With Tua, his has been this year. I mean, cold weather, it rocked him. Like, what do they do in Miami? Because again, it's the complete opposite of Buffalo. Like, everybody wants to go there, but then when they have to play somewhere that seemingly that isn't just feeling wonderful, they don't play as well. What do you do in that situation?
That one, I would argue, is much trickier. Because with Buffalo, like, we're not talking about them being that far off. Right. As much as, you know, these losses in the playoffs to the Chiefs sting, I mean, like, dramatically sting. And this past Sunday night was extremely hopeless. Right. I mean, it's Sunday, last game of the divisional round. All the stars were aligning. You're playing in Buffalo, like, your moment is finally here. Right. And the Chiefs, by the way, have been average for much of the year offensively. Like, if ever there was a time for the Bills to win this game, it was this past Sunday. And Miami, it's like, not only have you been to the playoffs in back to back seasons, but like, which is good, right? But like, that game felt like completely out of reach for Miami for a lot of that game, right? It was like, you're going to Kansas City, it's minus 30 degrees. Like, you might as well just rubber stamp the Chiefs going to the divisional round and playing Buffalo up in Buffalo. And if you're the Dolphins, you've shown that you can be like an incredible regular season team, but you can also beat up on bad competition. If you go back over the two seasons now with Tua playing really well under Mike McDaniel, Tyreek Hill being there in Miami. You look at the games they have won against teams that ended up finishing the season with a winning record. In the 2022 season, I think there were three of those games in total. One of them was when they beat the Bills in week three. So the Bills were 2-0 at the time early in the year. Another game was when they beat the Lions, who ended up finishing 9-8, but they entered that game against Miami 1-5. Detroit had a massive second half to the 2022 season, which ended up pushing them over 500. And then this year, they beat the Cowboys, who ended up obviously winning 12 games this year. So that was a legitimately good win, that game down in Miami late in the regular season. But they basically got crushed by good competition in all other games over the past two regular seasons. So if you're the Dolphins, the question is, you've got what it takes right now to be a top 10 to 12-ish team in the NFL. What is going to bridge the gap from 10 to 12 to like top 3 to 5, where you're actually competing for the Super Bowl every single year? And while I will be the first to tell you that the NFL salary cap can be manipulated and that you can find ways to keep the players that you absolutely really desperately want, for Miami, it's not a salary cap question right now. It's, is the quarterback good enough to justify a major investment? Because Tua obviously has some serious strengths to his game. Deep ball accuracy is awesome. That helps when you have Tyreek Hill. The guy led the NFL in passing yards this season. And yet this upcoming offseason, if the Dolphins invest $45, $46, $48 million per year in Tua, you're going to have a huge cross-section of football fans that are saying to themselves, what? Like, really? You're doing that for Tua Tagovailoa? Does he deserve it? Well, I mean, deserve is what you're worth when someone's willing to make you an offer. So I think he, you know, he's going to get it is my most likely bet. But that to me is a really tricky evaluation for Miami, because if they were to move off from Tua, like, who's sitting there waiting in the wings? That's, by the way, also inexpensive, because the salary cap is going to impact Miami's spending power this offseason, that they can say, all right, well, it's not Tua, but it's an upgrade just at a cheaper cost. That's a hard thing for any team to find in the NFL. So the Dolphins find themselves in a good spot relative to like 15, 18, 20 of the teams in the NFL, but in a really tricky spot relative to the first class of the NFL.
Speaking about what people deserve, Brock Purdy, does he deserve all this hate that he's getting? It's like people just can't stand that the guy wins and they hold him accountable for the talent he has on his team. Like, they hold it against him.
Yeah, I think people need to decide what they want out of Brock Purdy, right? And in some ways, Brock Purdy being the very last pick in the draft is a great thing. Like, it makes his story that much more improbable and it makes his run that much more incredible. It also makes him that much easier of a target, right? Because people just find a way to undercut some of what he does. I think that multiple things can be true at once. And I think that's one of the biggest errors that we make now when we're evaluating sports in general. So Brock Purdy can be a very, very talented player who can do a ton of great things within the 49ers offense. He can also play in a 49ers offense that is more user-friendly to the quarterback than others might be, right? When you have Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and a really good offensive line and Kyle Juszczyk, the best fullback in football. When you have all those pieces around you, then yes, it's easier to thrive and succeed than it would be if you were playing with a much weaker supporting cast. That's okay. But so you can like acknowledge two things at once. Brock may not be a top five quarterback in the NFL. Maybe he's not top eight. Maybe he's 10, 11, 12. I'm not entirely concerned about where he specifically lands. I just do know that within the confines of the 49ers offense and what they are consistently asking Brock Purdy to do, it feels like every time he is presented a challenge, he ends up meeting the mark. So if you want to debate whether he's as good as Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, I think it's going to be a fairly short debate and probably not one that's worth the fight if you're a Brock Purdy defender. But if the ultimate goal is to win a Super Bowl, they're two games away from doing that, and they're favored in the first game against the Detroit Lions that they're playing on their home turf.
What are the Bears going to do?
I think this one's pretty cut and dry, at least if I were the one that's making the decision. And that's, of course, not me. It's Bears GM Ryan Poles. I think the Bears should take a quarterback number one overall. I think they should take Caleb Williams from USC, Heisman Trophy winner in 2022, who's accounted for over 90 touchdowns over the past two seasons, 30-plus passing and 10-plus rushing in each of those two seasons. USC had a down year this year. The defense was terrible. Very young roster overall, as you know. With the transfer portal, college has become like every program's like almost like a way station for prospects. It's not even really a program anymore. You're just there for however long you need to be there to get to the next place, whether that's the NFL or a different college. I take Caleb Williams. I think he's the real deal. I think he's terrific. I think he's got all the tools you need to be an unbelievable player in the NFL for a long time. And then I think you have to go and you have to survey the market for Justin Fields. And what's going to work in their favor is that there's always more teams that need quarterbacks than there are quarterbacks available. And right now, and there's a long way to go in the pre-draft process. There's about 95 days until the draft begins. Right now, there are more teams that need a quarterback that could justify taking a quarterback in the first round than there are obvious first-round picks amongst the quarterbacks. There's three that I think, no two ways about it, will absolutely unquestionably go number one overall. Number in the first round. Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. I happen to have the order Williams, Daniels, May, but that's nitpicking there. Beyond that, teams are going to either have to talk themselves into a prospect that offers some questions, or they're going to say to themselves, Justin Fields isn't perfect, but he's got three seasons under his belt in the NFL. He's played a lot. One of the most dynamic runners we've ever seen at the quarterback spot. He's one of three quarterbacks ever, along with Michael Vick and Lamar Jackson, to rush for at least 1,000 yards in a season. Trade for Justin Fields. And if you're the Bears, you just kind of take the marketplace, you figure out what the best options are, and then grab as much draft capital as you can. Not that I'm not a Justin Fields fan, because I am also advocating for other teams potentially trading for him. But if you're Chicago, this is a ceiling versus a floor play. I think the ceiling with Caleb Williams is dramatically higher than it is right now with Justin Fields.
We got a big Cowboy fan here who's still in mourning. Eddie?
Yeah, hey, Field. I'm a big Cowboys fan. Love my Dallas Cowboys. And I want to ask you, was it my blinders, or, you know, were you shocked too that the Cowboys lose to the Packers early? And are you shocked by the keeping Mike McCarthy deal?
I was so shocked. On both fronts. Shocked on the first front, for sure. I the NFL is this wonderful game that has the any given Sundays that I've already mentioned once before mentality to it in the playoffs, right? It's not the team that's better that always wins. This is not a 7-game series where typically in the NBA, Nikola Jokic or LeBron James or Steph Curry or the best player in the series is going to end up finding a way to will his team to 4 victories in 7 tries, because that's how the system is set up. This is the NFL where one bad half can lead you into a massive deficit. And I thought that Packers-Cowboys game was actually won when the coin toss took place. The Packers win the toss on the road. Dallas, obviously the most dominant home team, not just this season, but in a long time in 2023. And they took the ball. A lot of teams prefer to defer. They said, we want the ball right away. They have an 8-minute drive. They score a touchdown. And it was like, there was the air let out of the balloon in the stadium, right? It was like the silence all of a sudden kind of hit. I was so surprised. And I was an ardent Dak Prescott supporter all season. It's weird that like being a Dak supporter can make you kind of like a controversial figure. I mean, like that's like the guy is unbelievable. Yeah. And at one point was playing better than any player on the planet this season. And yet there are some people that perhaps because of their displeasure for the Cowboys in general would like to see him fail. But yeah, I was shocked by the performance. I almost couldn't believe it. And then in terms of Mike McCarthy, like shocked and surprised are two different things to me, but like, even though they sound very similar, I was surprised that they kept Mike McCarthy only because there was a Bill Belichick dynamic waiting right there for them. Mike Vrabel, Pete Carroll, you know, the various assistants, who could have been available as head coaching prospects. But I wasn't shocked because, 36 wins over the past three seasons during the regular season? That's a lot of winning for this Dallas Cowboys team. And There's no guarantee that the other coaches available are going to elevate where you were, right? Like, this ultimately will be a team that's judged by the postseason. So, shocked? No. Surprised? Yes. I will tell you this, though. Come August of next year, I will once again I will be forecasting the Cowboys will be a big-time NFC contender.
My man.
Okay,
my
but, man. But where, if they get to the NFC Championship next year, let's just play this out. Does that get McCarthy a new contract, or does he have to win the Super Bowl?
I think next year's Super Bowl or bust, which is fair, unfair, but I think it's Super Bowl or bust. Like, we've reached that point with the Mike McCarthy path that if he can't win the big one next year, that's going to be the measuring stick. Unless there's some sort of like significant changes to the roster that I am not expecting right now, next year, Super Bowl or bust, which is a term that we use a lot more than is like actually true. But I think next year, it's pretty cut and dry for the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy. I mean, they could lose in the Super Bowl in heartbreaking fashion, and it still might not be enough to keep his job. Because I know that the sport is very, very unpredictable. And I know that it's not one on paper, but I don't know how many rosters I am taking over the Cowboys as presently constructed. I don't know where their glaring, obvious weakness is. Maybe the run defense needs to be fortified a bit more. Maybe the secondary was a little bit more up and down than we realized. You know, all those interception returns for touchdowns, maybe camouflaged that the secondary wasn't quite as dominant at times as you might think. But that roster is really, really good.
Field Yates on Instagram and Twitter, at Field Yates. And you guys, as we mentioned before he came on, First Draft and Fantasy Focus Football. First Draft is the podcast hosted by Field and Mel Kiper Jr. to keep tabs on the NFL draft throughout the year. And obviously, we're kind of out of fantasy right now. So what do you guys do? Do you just shut that one down now until next year?
Yeah, so we're trying to be more mindful of the fact that people care about fantasy a ton all the time. And what's cool about football is that it is a 365-day-a-year calendar, and there is interest in things that go beyond just the games. So before you know it, the NFL draft will be here. But prior to that, you'll have the combine, you'll have free agency, and people will be interested in that stuff. What I tell people often is what's really a cool part about my job in fantasy is that there could be, like, the Cowboys could sign some guard this offseason. And if they end up keeping Tony Pollard, even if they don't, whatever, let's just say they do, someone will come up to me and be just as likely to ask, like, what does signing that guard mean for Tony Pollard's fantasy value this year, right? People will find any way to connect the dots of fantasy football and personnel moves around the NFL. That to me is sort of a sign of where things are going. And I always tell people ask me, you know, what do you want to do? You know, what are your 5-10 year goals, which to me, I think that's like an outdated question. I feel like it was much more a thing when, you know, our parents' generation was growing up. But I think anybody who works in football would probably agree with this. Like, we want to work in a sport that people care about, and football and fantasy football, people care about all the time. So we'll do a lot of mock drafting. We'll do a lot of, you know, prognosticating, and then the NFL draft will give us a whole new like breath of fresh air because, not every year is going to have a draft in which two running backs go in the top 12, the real NFL draft I'm talking about here, in both Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. The NFL draft offers hope. That's the beauty of the NFL draft that I don't think other sports have, is that there is tangible evidence that one draft can totally reshape the fortunes of even the worst franchises. If we did this exact interview a year ago, right now, we'd be talking about the Houston Texans as one of the most hopeless franchises in the entire NFL. They had very few players you consider like building block, true blue, gotta have them pieces. They had the number 2 overall pick, but people would say, hey, you know, this was a number 1 pick scenario where they should have just lost in week 18 and had control of the top of the draft board. Well, instead they get quote unquote stuck with the number 2 pick and they get CJ Stroud. And now if you were to do what we at ESPN call future power rankings, how many teams just because of CJ Stroud would you really want ahead of Houston? Not that many. And there are teams right now who feel, to me, very, very either down in the dumps or kind of stuck in the middle. Like, down in the dumps teams are the ones that are picking at the top, right? You know, it's Washington and New England. And the teams are kind of stuck in the middle, or like Denver, right? Like, Denver was good enough to have a competitive streak this year, but obviously is going to make a quarterback change this offseason, and not so bad this past year, they have a top five pick. The NFL, though, that draft can change fortunes so quickly that between now and April, you'll be able to sell people on hope. And then once September rolls around, that hope might be realized. The Houston Texans are probably the best recent example of it.
Phil, we really appreciate the time. Big fan.
I appreciate you guys very much. Thanks for having me on. Hope we can do it again sometime soon.
All right, Phil. See you, buddy. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, is bringing you an offer that will help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code BobbySports. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook. With the code BobbySports, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help's available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, we're all here. Reed in his Indiana Pacers shirt. 3 out of 4 last shows. Good job, buddy.
Let's go. Dude, I went to that, you know that Putt Shack place that just opened?
What'd you say?
Putt
yeah,
Shack.
Yeah, I know. I've been. Yeah,
I went a couple days
Putt
ago.
Putt Shack.
Yeah, yeah, it's like...
Where is it?
It's in the Gulch.
In the Gulch, yeah.
Okay. It's like a crazy putt putt. No, it's like insane putt putt. Like, but anyway,
that sounds
I was wearing my like other Pacers shirt, and as I was walking out, some girl walks in. She goes, "Go Pack, go!"
Pack?
Yeah. She thought it was a Packer shirt.
Did you correct her?
No, I didn't say anything.
That's nice of you.
Yeah.
It's a good story.
thanks, man.
Dude, just say you found $100 on the
ground.
Yeah.
Are you, yeah, you found 10 bucks in your pocket or something. Something. It's way more interesting.
Something.
Yeah, at the end of that.
Whatever, guys.
We're going to play a little easy football trivia as we go into our AFC, NFC championship weekends. Now,
get it.
Kevin, did you win the last time versus those two?
I did, of course.
Okay, so you two are going to team up again.
It's just Tweedledee, Tweedledum over here.
And play against Kevin in easy football trivia.
Let's get it.
Come on, Reed.
Now, these are easy, easy questions. Okay?
Until they're not.
So they should be very easy, okay, though, at the beginning. Right. Team dum-dums.
Yeah, for sure.
What is the term for when a player catches a pass in the end zone?
That is a touchdown.
Final answer?
Final answer.
Correct. It's easy.
That was really easy.
Easy, right. Kevin, what's the term for a defensive player who catches a pass from the opposing quarterback?
That would be an interception.
Boom.
Okay.
Team Dum Dum.
Yep.
What's the term for a defensive player tackling the quarterback behind the line of scrimmage?
You know it?
That'd be a sack.
Now, I need, when you two say it, I need you to say final answer, then the answer.
Okay, what's your guess? Okay.
Final answer, sack.
Yep.
Correct. Kevin, how many yards is each team allowed to advance in four downs?
10.
Good. Easy trivia. Team Dum Dum.
Yep.
What do you call a week during the season when NFL teams don't play?
Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. No final answer.
No final
what answer?
What is it? Bye week.
Yeah.
Final answer, bye week.
Correct. Kevin, how many NFL teams are there?
32.
Correct.
Good job, dude.
I wanted to say in Spanish, but I don't know how.
32.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Dum-dums. How many games is the NFL regular season for each team? How many games do they play?
You know what?
Nope.
17, final answer.
Yeah, 18 weeks, 17 games. Yeah. Good job.
Nice.
Kevin, how many NFL divisions are there?
8.
Correct.
Just count on your fingers.
Yeah.
Dum-dums.
Yeah, yeah.
What network does Jim Nantz and Tony Romo work for?
You know it?
Nope.
CBS, final answer.
Okay.
Woo. It's rolling. Let's go. Oh.
Hey, Kevin. Yeah. What network do Joe Buck and Troy Aikman work for?
ESPN.
Oh, correct. That's a trick question.
I know. Right in my head at first. I was like, woo.
Correct.
I thought you were going to fall for it.
I thought it for a second.
Team Dum-dums.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What city is the home to the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
What city? You know it? Say it, but no.
You can say it.
Canton? Yeah. Okay. Final answer, Canton.
Canton, Ohio is correct.
Nice, Reed.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Kevin, how many rounds is the NFL draft?
7.
Correct.
Yep. Wow, that's clutch.
Yeesh.
I thought 8.
Why?
I don't know. Just seemed right.
Just a thought.
Yeah, just seemed right.
Dum-dums.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What two teams have purple uniforms?
Two teams? You know it?
Vikings and Ravens.
Yeah.
Vikings and Ravens, final answer.
Why does he change his voice?
Reed's doing good.
Correct.
I'm not stupid, hey, guys.
He goes, the Vikings and Ravens? Yes, it. Oh, I'm going to go Vikings and Ravens.
The confidence comes in.
Kevin, who is known as the bus in the NFL?
Jerome Bettis.
Correct. What team has the first pick in the 2024 NFL draft, dum-dums?
Packers.
What?
No, it's not the Packers.
No, it's not the Packers.
Oh, what team has the first pick in the 2024 NFL draft?
It's just hard because, like, you know, they trade picks and...
It's the Browns?
The Panthers?
Browns?
No, it's not Panthers. The Browns. Panthers. I'm between Panthers and Bears. So you're talking about Caleb Williams going first, maybe the Bears. What are they going to do?
I feel like it's the Panthers.
You feel like Panthers?
I don't know.
I haven't heard a lot of things about the Panthers. I'm going to go Bears.
Okay. All right.
But do it in your voice.
Bears, final answer.
So the Panthers had the worst record in football, but they had traded the pick to the Bears, so the Bears have the first
pick.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Woo!
Staying alive.
Kevin, in yards, how long is the football field from the back of the end zone to the back of the end zone?
120.
Correct.
Good question.
Good answer.
That's a trick.
Dum-dums.
Yeah.
How many players are on the field for each team during a standard American football game play? How many players on the field for each team?
You know it?
11?
Yeah.
Yeah. 11, final answer.
Correct.
Dang, guys.
Who was the number one overall pick in 2023, Kevin?
Our friend of the show, Bryce Young.
Correct. Mm-hmm. How many offensive linemen are in a normal formation, Dum-dums?
Offensive linemen?
Mm-hmm.
Normal.
Five? Four?
Offensive. One, two, three, four, five.
Yeah.
Say five.
Five. Final answer.
Correct.
At center. Center throws you off sometimes. Yeah,
what is the most expensive NFL franchise according to Forbes?
Oh, it's Jerry's World. Dallas Cowboys.
Correct.
That's what's up.
Dum-dums, name three of the four teams named after cats.
Ooh. You got Panthers.
Yeah.
After cats.
Yeah.
Panthers, Lions.
Yeah.
And
Bengals.
Yeah, Bengals. Yeah.
All right, go for it.
Panthers, Lions, Bengals, final answer.
Correct. And the fourth is the Jaguars.
Oh, I didn't think that far. Yeah, I'm like, who cares what the fourth is?
No, you're done.
Good job.
You guys got to that quick.
Kevin, what player was nicknamed the Fridge?
Oh, dang it.
Come on.
Oh, did we get him?
Oh, no, I don't know this.
I know he played for the Bears in the 80s. Defensive lineman. Oh, but I... Dang it. I can't think of his name right now. I just know him by the Fridge. Mike Perry.
What?
Mike Perry.
Refrigerator Perry is who it is, but it's William Perry.
Dang it!
Oh,
that's wow. Crazy.
Just would have went with last name.
You would have given him a Refrigerator Perry?
Refrigerator Perry. Last name, yeah. I would have given it to him.
You dum-dum.
Dang.
Okay, you guys need to get this to win.
Let's go, Reed!
Come on.
Let's go!
What quarterback has the most rushing yards in their career?
Oh, boy.
All time?
No, Reed, on Tuesdays.
Okay. I got to factor that in.
Yeah.
Man, I'm thinking it's Lamar.
What quarterback has the most rushing yards in their career all time?
All time, Reed. I think the all time kind of throws us off because we think, like, oh, it's got to be.
Is it that old guy?
Randall Cunningham. Like,
oh, God.
Although he did run a lot. I think it's going to be Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
That dude runs a lot.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I believe you.
I don't know, though. Do you have anyone else?
I mean, Joe Montana, man. That's all I got.
No.
Dum-dum's your answer?
Go ahead.
Lamar Jackson, final answer.
Wrong.
Oh, no.
Who do you think it is?
I'd go Cam Newton.
Mike Vick.
Oh, yeah. That was the other one.
He ran a lot.
Forgot
about
him.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't think he was around long enough.
Sudden death.
Love dogs.
Buzz in with your name. When you buzz in, you have to say it. So you guys are playing. Okay. You both get a buzz.
Oh, okay.
But you don't get to talk to each other.
Okay.
Oh, shoot.
So it's 2-1.
Yeah.
Two against one.
We'll do 5 questions. Okay. Let's go. Who's the all-time winningest NFL coach?
Ding, ding.
You have to say your name.
Oh, Kevin.
Kevin.
Don Shula.
Correct.
Wow, I would have never gotten that.
1-0. The next question. Per half, how many timeouts do each NFL
team?
Kevin. Eddie.
3.
Correct.
Nice.
Woo!
Nice!
How many? Wait, we have to get best out of 3? Or no?
Best out of 5.
5, okay.
How many coaches' challenges per game?
Kevin.
Eddie.
3.
Incorrect.
2.
Correct. And if they succeed, they have a 3rd.
It's okay. Wait, do I get that or no?
You do.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah. You get it.
Yeah, you get it.
Whenever you're ready to play, Reed.
Yeah, dude. I'm just making sure everything's going good.
Who leads all tight ends in career receiving?
Eddie.
Eddie.
Travis Kelce.
Incorrect.
Antonio Gates.
Incorrect. Tony Gonzalez.
That was a nice guess. Dang.
Antonio Gonzalez, dude.
I know.
So, 2-1. Going to the last question. This will be who's closer. Everybody needs to write their answer down. You have 5 seconds only to write your answer down.
Okay. So we're not buzzing in.
Nope.
Rip me off a piece of paper over there.
Whoever's closer gets the point. The question is, how many total games are played in the NFL regular season?
What the?
How many total games are played in the NFL regular season? Time is up. 3, 2, 1. Time. Pens down. Reed.
420.
420. Had a boy.
That's what's up, dude.
Had a boy. Eddie.
I'm way off. 250.
Kevin.
256.
Wow. He didn't know what you picked. That's what won it, because it's 272.
Oh!
Dang it.
So he wins again. Kevin beats the Jumpstart again.
Hey, that was good. Good game, boys. Good game. Good game. Good game. Good game.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
Unbelievable.
That was close, dude.
That was fun, though, man.
Yeah, that was fun. Well, congratulations to Kevin. You beat the Dum Dums 2 in a row.
How good do you feel? You feel good?
I feel great. I feel great.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's going to win the games? Both of them. Eddie, go.
Chiefs, Niners.
Reed? Niners, Ravens. Or sorry, you're looking at me. Yeah.
Yeah. Or whatever your name is.
Niners, Ravens.
Reed?
Yes, Chiefs, Niners. I don't know what we're talking about. What are we talking about?
Who's going to win the games this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Why'd you say Chiefs, Niners then if you know what we're talking about?
Because I thought we were talking about a parlay.
What were you thinking right then?
I honestly.
Because I looked at you and you were looking at somewhere on the wall.
Honestly, I was thinking about 420, man. I don't know.
He's about to make a 420.
Yeah, I'm going to go Chiefs and Niners as well.
Yeah, thank man.
You. Eddie's going to the basketball game tonight. Grizz.
Yeah, that's right. Going to Memphis Grizzlies.
That's right. That's no jaw. Cool.
That's
but
fun.
No jaw. We see Paolo Banchero. They're playing the Magic. So that'd be kind of cool. Yeah. How early should we get there?
What time's the game start?
7. It's a 7 o'clock
6:30.
Game. 6:30. Okay.
I mean, unless you want to get there way early and watch like warm-ups and stuff.
I think the boys would like that, right?
But then you just sit in there forever. It sucks.
What's the autograph situation? Like, the boys want to take basketballs like to get autographs and cards.
Unless you're somewhere before the game, like, you know, the hotel they're at, or they're taking you to meet, it's hard to get an autograph in the arena because everybody be running up with stuff.
Yeah. Or after the game, you can go wait for them when they all come out.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's going to take a while.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Okay.
Or what you could do is say, guys, give me your balls. And then you leave with the two balls and walk out and then sign them yourself and be like, they're only going to let one person in. And you come back and you're like, here you go. That's Mr. Barkley and that's Mr. Jordan. They don't play for these teams, but they were back there and they signed them for you.
That's funny. Yeah. I'll think about that one. So, nah, we're excited. It's going to be really cool.
That's awesome. Well, everybody be safe. Go Chiefs. God dang. I need them to win.
Yeah, dude. Hey, to beat the man, you got to be the man. Wait, nope. No, what?
To be the man.
You got to beat the man. You got
to beat the man.
And that's what's not going to happen.
What's not going to happen. Man, we're really confused here. All right, thank you, guys. We will see you guys next week. Bye, everybody.
Whistle.
Oh, whistle it.
Oh, yeah, whistle it.
Oh, my God.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.